Hello and welcome to a special edition of Third Degree Burn. My name is Brian Hughes, and I am joined by my good friend Tim Elliott. Say hi, Tim.
Hello.
Kurt Greenfield.
Good evening.
Nigel Spink.
Good morning.
And joining us from the basement is my son, Christopher Hughes. Say hi, Chris.
Hey, everybody. He keeps me in the basement.
Yep, and just to start this one off right, I got to say, though, that's not Mountain Dew because we're recording in the evening. So I got a Canada Dry Fruit Splash Cherry Ginger Ale. These are great, by the way. Ooh. Anyway, what are we talking about today? Okay, a little background here. 10 years ago, right around this time, we actually got together and also had a bunch of the Two True Freaks Network join us, including Andrew Leyland, so that we could talk about the upcoming Fantastic Four movie, or as we lovingly refer to that one, Fan-4-Stick, or what the F4. This one, though, has got a little bit more, shall we say, excitement built up for them. The last one, we knew it was going to be bad. We were just convinced that it was going to be horrible. It met all of our expectations on that, so much so that we didn't even have a follow-up show. Am I remembering this right, Tim?
We did. We went to see it, but I don't think we recorded a show right after.
No, we didn't. We didn't even... I know we talked about it on a later episode, just a few minutes, but there wasn't actually a show dedicated to it after it came out, just the one that we put together before.
Right.
And that was actually quite a fun episode because we got to talk to a lot of different people. Gene Hendricks was if I remember
just
right.
Randomly popped in on the call.
Yeah. And so, Sean was on, Sean Engel, right?
I believe so. He was on that one or one of our Star Wars ones. We did a couple of those, but I think Sean was on that one. And I think it was Gene. Andy just popped in for a little bit.
Yeah, the late, great Sean Engel, who's been in our thoughts a lot lately with Guy Gardner showing up in Superman.
That doesn't paint him in a great picture, you know.
What?
Who is Sean Engel?
Sean Engel, he was one of the members of Two True Freaks. He passed away nearly 10 years ago. And he had a show called Just One of the Guys that was about Guy Gardner. But he was on a number of shows with so many of the other great freaks, Paul Spataro and Scott Gardner and others, way back then. And he's just a missed member of the Two True Freaks Network. That being said, we do miss him. And I think we should go ahead and move on to the future at this point and bring us towards the upcoming Fantastic Four film. And do you know, off the top of my head, I cannot for the life of me think of who it is that's directing this movie.
He's a TV director. I can't name him, but I know he's I don't think he's done anything significant. Not to take anything away from the man, but
and
I don't.
So I'm going to take a moment and look it up while we're here.
I've noticed in terms of the story that's proposed. I don't think it's any secret to say that the Fantastic Four are going to deal with Galactus and the Silver Surfer. I think that's pretty well established at this point. But I'm concerned that they're starting with such a major storyline. When we had the X-Men, they didn't start with the Dark Phoenix saga. When we started with Captain America, they didn't start with the Infinity Wars or the Avengers with the Infinity Wars. They built to it. So I'm a little bit concerned that they are going for what I would describe as the biggest, most important storyline right out of the gate. Well, I'm a little concerned about that.
I think it makes sense because as far as we know, this is not a Fantastic Four that is within our universe. And they need something incredibly massive to happen in order to either destroy their universe or to come to a different universe.
Okay. Yeah, I just read today that the X-Men that we're going to ultimately see in the MCU are going to be young. So I know we're seeing things that they're shooting for Doomsday or Secret Wars, where we're seeing James Marsden as Cyclops and Ian McKellen as Magneto and others, but they're there for that movie. They're not going to be there for the MCU going forward.
I think they're all just, you're going to be pulling a lot of characters from alternate universes. They're going to pop in for cameos. And to your point, Brian, then they'll be off the table, and we'll start off with whoever they rebooted the franchise with.
Yeah. Now, in regards to the director of Fantastic Four, it's Matt Shankman, and he's well known in the business. He directed 9 episodes of WandaVision. He directed a couple episodes of Game of Thrones and 43 episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So take from that what you
that's
will.
That's a wide gambit of different types of shows there.
And he also directed 2 episodes of Monarch, Legacy of the Monsters, which we enjoyed thoroughly.
Yeah, it was a very good show, in my opinion. He's done 1 episode of The Boys.
Yeah, The Boys, and that's probably... I don't know. The Boys is something that, yeah, everybody that takes it on seems to knock it out of the park for that. So,
well, I'm
sorry.
Go ahead. I'll say the problem with television directors is that the difference between television and film is that with a television series, if it's established, you've got the writers kind of control it. So when a director comes in, they don't have a lot of control to kind of put their spin or their aesthetic on it, but they have to kind of stay within the guidelines that they've established for a show. So if you're coming in doing Star Trek Next Gen, you're not going to go do something really kind of wild and crazy. Now, that's different than a film, because in a film, if there are like an auteur or something like that that's going to come in and put their stamp on it, they can do that. But so I don't know how much, maybe this is his chance to
Was a producer of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I wouldn't be surprised if he was showrunner for the series, at least. I mean, he was involved in it for almost 10 years, so he probably could have been the showrunner. And if you remember, Parks and Recs gave us the Russos, who went on to direct great Captain America movies, Winter Soldier, Civil War, and they directed both Infinity War and Endgame.
And they're doing Doomsday.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm just saying that sometimes and maybe a film is a chance for someone like that to kind of spread their wings and do something different. So if they can, you know, I mean, Spielberg came from doing television. So there are people out there that can kind of expand upon.
Well, they're closer together too. When you look at, you know, a series like Game of Thrones was made to be, even though it was TV, it was cinematic. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars on the sets and everything going into it. Anyway,
if he's done WandaVision, I mean, how much more episodic television can you get than a Bewitched parody and Mary Tyler Moore or the Dick Van Dyke Show parody? I mean, he, as far as I'm concerned, like it or love it or hate it, the WandaVision series, he delivered, 9 of 10 episodes? Well, he nailed those, and he got the feel right. So I don't care whether he's a television director or a film director, I don't think it makes that much difference. If you have a vision and you can deliver it, no pun on words meant, but if you can deliver that vision and pull it off, that's great. Some of our best Star Trek, the original series episodes, we identify certain directors with the ones that have resonated over the years, as opposed to others that, you know, weren't as strong or weren't as important. Is that a function of the director who's choosing the camera angles and choosing how to shoot the thing? Or is it a function of the writers who author the story? I can't answer that.
I think on TV, it's more the writer, because if you think of your iconic TOS series episodes, you're thinking of the writing. And a lot of times that is, that doesn't necessarily go with the director, but it goes with either the producer or like Bob Jessman or Gene, I'm blanking on his name. Anyway, the producers, the kind of producer directors that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, are you guys getting a lot of reverb on us?
No, none.
No.
Okay, because it just occurred to me our headphones aren't working.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
So well, Brian, how do you want on. To, this was kind of your idea. How do you want to, you're just going to discuss what we hope to find, what we know about the film or what we hope we're going to see in the film?
Well, let's take a quick look back and remember that we had our 1994 version of Fantastic Four that never hit the theaters. That was came out of Roger Corman Studios.
Oh, that's why I never saw it.
But you can find it on YouTube or other areas on the web. I've got a copy of it myself, a pretty good one. And I'd seen it back in the 90s. I got a VHS of it at a convention. And while it, you know, lacked in certain areas, I really enjoyed it. Especially the thing costume wasn't bad.
It is pretty good. No, it's actually pretty good.
And the Dr. Doom costume was really good. Just the audio for Dr. Doom was bad.
I think that was because they didn't redub it. They didn't loop his dialogue. So you get just the actor's voice actually on set.
And they had two recognizable actors in the movie. One was the guy playing Reed Richards. He was the guy that gave Indiana Jones his hat in the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So really? He's the one that when they took the cross of Coronado from young Indy, River Phoenix playing him, he's the one that gave him the hat and says, "You don't have to like losing."
I remember.
Isn't that Hyde
and
Pierce?
Wasn't
it Hyde Pierce?
Alex Hyde Pierce, I think that's his name. Yeah, I think so.
Isn't he the son of Wilford Hyde?
I don't know.
Hyde Pierce?
I don't know. The guy that played Johnny Storm was in Uncle Buck. He was Bug, the boyfriend of the girl, the teenage girl, the one that they locked in the trunk and threatened with power tools. So
that's weird.
Yeah. And I really, you know, beyond that, I don't know much more to say about that movie because it was, you know, put together so they wouldn't lose the rights to it. They weren't really actively trying to make a good movie. But still, it's got elements to it that are enjoyable because the people that were involved in it really believed in it. Mm-hmm. And that's the funny aspect of it.
There's a good documentary about the making of that that's pretty good.
It came out
3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. They discuss how the actors didn't know it was never going to be released. They thought they were going to go out and do all this publicity for it. Then they realized, no, this was made strictly to hold on to the rights. It was never meant to go into theaters.
If you guys remind me, I'll put out the links to all this stuff that I can find on that. Then, of course, we had in the early 2000s, the Tim Story movies, the Fantastic Four and Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Loved both.
And I really enjoyed them. I saw that they weren't, you know, as something as polished as what we got in the MCU, you know, of superhero movies in the MCU later. They did get a lot of criticism, and Byrne gave some rather controversial criticism of Sue Storm's casting. I found those movies fun. I thought Michael Chiklis as the Thing was perfect casting.
I agree.
And Chris Evans as Johnny Storm, he ate that part up, man. He made a meal out of the Human Torch. If there was a weak point to me, it was the writing of Reed Richards. I don't think Ewan Griffin.
No, I think the writing was on Dr. Doom was the weakest.
And just what they did with Dr. Doom. Yeah, just never writing. I'm not speaking ill of the dead and Julian McMahon because I think he did the best he could with the role that he had, but they did not write Dr. Doom's character very well at all.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I've only seen that movie once, I think. Did not all five of them get their powers at once on a space station?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm remembering this the right movie. Okay.
Sorry, Tim.
That's the first one of the biggest mistakes I thought they made was that they gave Doom powers instead of making him just an evil genius. They didn't have to link all of their origins together the way they did.
No, they made him more of a Lex Luthor than they did a Dr. Doom because he was, you know, jealous of Reed, but not anywhere near as smart as Reed was. He's just a guy that had money and power. And so he was more like, you know, Lex Luthor in the 80s.
He was financing them to go to the space station.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, though, I love the way Silver Surfer looked.
Oh, in Rise of the Silver Surfer. Yeah.
And the way they had him moving was just, it was inspired. I loved it. I like the actor who played him.
That's Doug Jones.
Doug Jones did the physicality. And then, of course, Lawrence Fishburne did the voice, which was just awesome.
And all of it together was just so mesmerizing. I really loved that Silver Surfer. And I'm going to say this. I'm excited to see what Julia Gardner is going to do with Shala Ball. But I know that's the biggest hint towards the fact that this universe is not going to survive. Because they know everyone wants Norrin Rad. And I want Norrin Rad. But
I don't think that even if they get a new Fantastic Four and come over to this universe and all that, I don't think they're going to do another Galactus story.
You can't do it twice. But I don't think they're going to use Norrin Rad for a dead universe.
But going back to the Tim Story Fantastic Four, again, I think we're all in agreement on the actors that played the roles that, you know, did what they did. No real complaints on them. I think the writing really hurt things as much as it did. The special effects weren't bad. It just still made the world feel small.
Yes.
The Fantastic Four's universe never felt that big. And, you know, it's just, I think that hurt it more than anything. But I think it's just because it wasn't with Marvel. And had it been with Marvel, they could have made it, you know, they probably could have started back then and making, you know, building something that they didn't start doing until 2008.
Well, I think it, like most of those films, they weren't shared universes. So in each film, the main superhero, or they are the only superheroes in that film. So
now that was Fox, or was that Sony? That wasn't, or was that Sony?
It was Fox, I believe. Yeah, Fox. Yeah. Sony had Spider-Man. Fox had X-Men and FF.
And they didn't ever once think about crossing those guys over. And
well, they just didn't do that. Yeah. That wasn't something that, until Marvel really started doing it, it wasn't a thing to cross over or even have other characters show up, or they kind of did it in like Batman Forever, and in that one they mentioned Superman, so they don't show him, but they kind of say, okay, well, there are some other superheroes in this Batman movie. They don't do that in the FF. It was like they were the only metahumans or whatever in that universe.
And so, and the one thing that Rise of the Silver Surfer gave us was that kind of John Byrne Super Scroll view when Johnny Storm had all their powers. And I thought that was a real good, it was a creative and interesting callback. But, you know, I mean, they were just working with what they had. But, I mean, again, the first one was the better movie. The second one fell short. Though it did introduce us to Frankie Ray. And the actress playing her, I don't remember her name, but she was actually pretty good. Then there was 2015's, and we always call it Fanforstic because of the logo, but it was a Fantastic Four movie that had Miles Teller as Reed Richards. It had Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. And of course, that raised controversy since, what was her name? It's Rooney Mara's sister. I can't remember her name.
The actress that played Susan?
Yeah, the actress that played Susan Storm.
Yeah. She was adopted, I guess, because...
it was Kate Mara.
Yeah, because Franklin... Is that right? Yeah. Franklin Storm? He was African-American. Yeah, he was black. And Johnny was... then she was white. So, obviously, I assume that she was adopted, possibly. We don't know. I don't think they did that. They gave us that much information about it.
Now, this actress was also in the MCU already, because she was in Iron Man 2. She served Tony Stark the subpoena to appear before the Armed Services Committee or whatever that was that he had to go and peer at.
Yeah.
No, it was the Senate, remember?
Yeah, that's
what I'm talking about. He showed up in front of the senator and basically gave him a real kind screw you.
Yeah, but she was the girl that served him the subpoena in that. So definitely not Sue Storm there.
Yeah, I remember.
But I mean, that movie though, that was and now I'm blanking on the name of the guy that directed it, because
Josh Trank,
who directed what was that first movie he did? It had Michael Bibb. It was like the second he directed. He was in all of a sudden I am blanking on where I'm trying to go with
it was
this.
Kind of it was a superhero like film, but it was more of a horror film. It was
Chronicle was the movie. Yeah, and written by Max Landis, the son of Jonathan Landis, of Twilight Zone. History, infamy. But I mean, we saw this as the movie was getting put together, as we were hearing about this, it just seemed like a disaster of epic proportions just being put together. We saw that none of us thought it had any chance of succeeding. The only person that gave it any credit, the only person that spoke up and said, Josh Trank has a take here that's interesting, was Kevin Smith. And after all that, and after all the controversy that went into it, a lot of people don't realize that the powers that be at Fox were just inundating Josh Trank with all sorts of notes and all this stuff. They were trying to change stuff left and right. And Josh Trank had the equivalent of a nervous breakdown and was replaced. I believe, was it Matt Reeve?
No.
That came in and took over?
I didn't think so.
See, I'm going to have to look at that one, look that one up. But do you guys remember, I know Tim remembers this movie.
It had a very troubled production, and there's a very clear spot about halfway through. You can see where Trank's kind of stopped, his movie stops, and the other movie either took over for him or if the studio just re-edited or reshot it. But it's almost like two different movies put together.
This movie, Stan Lee even declined to make a cameo in that movie. That's how bad it is. I mean, if Stan's not going to show up for that, it's got to be really, really bad.
It was a lot of wrong decisions. And the writing and the fact that it was more of like a teen film, because they made everybody what was the foundation? Was it the Baxter Building they went to that the Stormers were running a gifted program for kids?
It didn't look like any Baxter Building I'd ever seen. No.
But that was the excuse to bring them all together. And then, you know, Reed's buddy Ben just happened to show up. He's playing, is that Billy Elliot, right?
Yeah, Jamie Bell.
Was just naked, right? The whole film, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he was much more.
And we're getting a fully clothed Thing in this one.
Yeah, they're making up for Thing doesn't want to flash us anymore, thank goodness. And after playing Marvel Rivals and seeing The Thong, I'm pretty worn out of seeing Thing.
Huh.
Yeah,
is this movie the one that ends, they're looking over a balcony or something, says, wow, yep, that's fantastic, and Reed says, what did you say?
That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Do you know who the biggest film, biggest fan of this film was? And they wanted to direct a sequel to it?
Kevin Smith.
Oh, my God.
Tommy Wiseau of The Room.
Tommy Wiseau? Wow.
Yeah.
They should have given it to him. His couldn't have been any worse.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Ben. Yeah, no. Okay, so my wife told me, I was talking to my wife about this, and what she had said, and I remember her saying this way back then, that, you know, as someone who walked in never having read a Fantastic Four book, she actually enjoyed the first half of the movie. If it hadn't been a Fantastic Four movie, it would have been better. Just the science fiction aspects of it really were interesting to her. And then, of course, halfway through, it just became something else that she just didn't recognize or have any interest in.
Now, if I may draw us away, because it feels like we're starting to just poop on Fan Four Stick.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, we're just kind of laying the ground before we go into our expectations on this next one.
Well, I mean, what are the expectations of this new one?
That it's going to be good, that it's going to deal with the first family, that it's going to have a lot of style in 1950s, 1960s panache. My expectation.
My expectation is the key to this movie is going to be Franklin. I mean, pretty much looking at it, the name of the movie's First Steps. It's pretty on the nose. It's about Franklin. This movie's more about Franklin than I think the Fantastic Four protecting Franklin rather than it being about the Fantastic Four themselves.
That could be that. I mean, it could be more than one meaning, multiple meanings.
Yeah,
to that
most definitely. But I'm very excited to see what they'll do. I'm very excited for the guy who's playing Galactus. That voice.
Oh, yeah. Golly, I can't remember.
Ralph Ineson.
I'm incredibly excited for him to be Galactus. The movie just looks really good. Also, where are they going where Galactus is getting suited up? That's my question. I don't read Fantastic Four comics, to be honest. So
What do you mean?
If you look at the trailer, there's a couple scenes where you see the Fantastic Four are on this. I don't know if I should call it a planet or if it's like the Galactus engine or whatever it may be. I'm probably very wrong here, but they're walking up to where I can only think that Shalabal is leading them to Galactus to make a deal with him. And he says, the only way I'll leave y'all is if you give me your child.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he's suiting. It shows him in the technical parts of his suit moving like he's suiting up. And I'm just like, how big is Galactus here? Is he as big as the world or is he, you know, small city size? Like he shows to be in the trailer where he's able to walk in between the streets, where hopefully he doesn't, you know, walk into a building that's too tall and it hits him in the crotch, you know. But you know, I don't know. I'm very intrigued to see. And I like how the trailers keep stopping us from hearing the famous "It's clobbering time," which I'm very excited to hear. I want to see the ever-loving blue-eyed thing.
Well, but they need to. That was my reaction to the very first trailer. Was the Thing's voice, and we thought, oh, they're going to change it. Apparently, they're not. His voice is all wrong. I'm sure it's the actor's voice, and I'm sure the actor is like, well, no, I want to use my voice. They're not going to pitch it down. That's just wrong. It does not sound right for the Thing.
The only reason I think they did that, and that's just because, in my knowledge, this the Thing in the comics, does it ever say his voice changed after becoming the
no,
Rock?
But every other type of iteration, cartoon, other films, anything, he's had a much deeper voice.
Yeah, I think it's just because the actor they chose. I don't think it's necessarily anything else's fault, because there's no reason to change the voice of the actor, because that's just not how it ever went in the comics, from by the sounds of it. Like I said, I don't read Fantastic Four comics.
Well, do what Chiklis did. He pitched his voice down himself. He went with a deeper, gravelier voice.
But he also just had the voice for the Thing anyway.
Yeah, I think it's the same with actors nowadays don't want to wear a mask. Why do you think in so many of these films they're masked? Either they take it off or they've got the nano helmet so they can have so they want to show their face. You know, they're actors. They want the public to see them. So they don't want to be, they're not going to
Except for Carl Urban.
They're not going to be Carl Urban, who should be applauded for going through that whole film without ever taking his helmet off.
Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Yep.
Need to watch it.
Yeah.
And I think
speaking it's, of which, have you guys seen the Mortal Kombat trailers?
No, I've heard about it. I didn't realize he was in it, but that makes me want to go see the
film. There's two trailers. There's one that's just the Johnny Cage, and then there's another full regular trailer. It looks so much better than the last one.
It looks fun.
Yep.
But this is still
Fantastic. Let's get we'll go back to that. I'm not going to worry about the Thing's voice really. The bringing in of Herbie is interesting.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of looking forward to. I mean, I understand it's probably an idea they thought. Why not bring him in for the kids? And that's a good thing. And by having Franklin in there, I don't know how old they're going to let Franklin get. But it looks like he does get to at least be a year, if not more.
Well, I heard that there's a time jump. Like, you know, you've seen the in the preview where they're coming in to dinner and Johnny says, "You're late." And she's like, "Oh, what do you mean?" And they then realize that she's pregnant. I think
you're late.
And then at one point it jumps a year so that then Franklin's born. So I don't know but I've heard there is a time jump in it.
And the Thing has a beard.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, the only time I'd ever seen the Thing with the beard was when Barry Windsor Smith did the April Fool's issue in Marvel Fanfare, which was awesome, but hilarious.
What about when he dressed up as a pirate?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, with the black hair. Yeah.
I got to say, I love Joseph Quinn's Johnny so far.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you are prejudiced towards Joseph Quinn.
Absolutely not. I loved Chris Evans a lot.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Joseph Quinn was Eddie in Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, I loved
Eddie. He was like your favorite character of all time on that show.
Yeah, I loved Eddie. Eddie was great.
Yes.
And Eddie was awesome. I also loved Joseph Quinn in Quiet Place Day One, which was amazing. And showed a lot of character, his acting chops. He has an incredible way of adding depth to a silent character, or mostly silent.
I think that all the actors in this, and now I don't know much of Vanessa Kirby, but all the other actors in this have got amazing chops.
I'm still iffy on Pedro Pascal so far.
Really?
I'm still pretty iffy on it.
I mean, but you've seen a lot of stuff with him in it.
Yeah, like I like The Last of Us.
Mandalorian.
I don't think
you saw his Game of Thrones.
I did. Yeah. You forced me to see it.
Well, you watched his exit.
Yeah.
But not the rest of his
stuff. He's better at Narcos if you watch that. Because Mandalorian, you're getting his voice. You get him a couple times with his helmet off. But I think you look at his acting. Look at Narcos.
Yeah. But I'm still just not sold on it as him as Reed Richards, that is. Not like I am with pretty much everyone else.
And that's the thing. I mean, in portraying somebody incredibly intelligent in one of these movies, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. did that, but he did that with a heavy dose of snarkiness. Whereas this Reed Richards would almost be on the Asperger scale. He'd be more like a Sheldon. Than you know anybody else. I you know just how they would be able to portray him is going to be you know as being that smart. They haven't shown anything on the trailers that gives an indication of just how intelligent he is. At least I hadn't seen anything.
Well, the way you portray a man who's that smart is by having him bear the weight of the world on his shoulders. And I have a feeling he's going to do that. And that's very stereotypical of how you portray people who are that smart. And so I that's why I'm just kind of like, what are you going to bring to this that's different than that? And I'm waiting.
Go ahead.
I want to see the movie, and I hope he blows me away. If he does, I'll love the movie. I'm already, quite frankly, very excited to see it. But that's also just because I heard, you know, Johnny say, you know how to fly spaceships. Don't tell me how to kill sexy aliens. And I thought that was just that felt so right.
That is a very Johnny line.
And Vanessa Kirby so far feels like the linchpin of the entire family.
I've heard that she's kind of they're going to kind of make her the leader instead of Reed.
Right.
And that's just because she's the mom.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, Reed is, why do you think Reed is the leader? Is it because he's the smartest guy? Is it because he's got the best powers, or is it because he's the best leader? I mean, I say it's a reason why I look at Cap. Why does Cap lead the Avengers? He's not the strongest. He doesn't have the most power. It's because he's the best leader. And it has to do with his leadership and the fact that the rest of them look up to him. So, you know, I don't like her being the if she's going to be the leader, I think it should be more of a co-leadership between her and...
I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be like, you know, okay, everybody get together. We got to figure out this. Reed, what should we do? You know, and then Reed comes up with a plan, and then she makes sure it happens. I
think it's more of a, she's the morale and he's the brains.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's like, I don't know if I can do this, she pushes them, but it's like, what do I do? Then you ask Reed. I mean, I think that just handled it. They're a family, but they're also a group of, you know, intelligent people trying to ask an even more intelligent person what to do.
Nigel, what do you think? You've been really quiet.
Yeah. About what?
About Sue being the leader.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of with Tim on that. I not that I've got anything against her being the leader. It's just that, yeah, as you say, Reed Richards is the leader. Yeah, for obvious reasons, like Tim says, because he's the best leader and also because he's the brain box. They're usually the types that do get the leader role. So, I don't know. I mean, we don't know exactly how she's going to come across as leader. We've not really seen anything other than...
That's true. That just, I just
other than what you'd expect her to say from a mother's point of view or from one of the family's point of view when she's saying things like, we'll do this together. I mean, people would say that anyway. They say it in the Fantastic Four comics, the old ones as well. That's one of the things that I'm hoping they're going to get right, which, based on what I've seen, there's a good chance I put down here. I want to see the real family interactions like they had in the Lee Kirby FF. And I think there's a strong possibility that we will see that. So that's good. Yeah. But I still consider Reed to be the leader. So I hope he doesn't take too much of a back seat. I don't think he will. I mean, we've seen him working out his formulas and things on blackboards and stuff. Yeah. Although he's not said anything, his mind's working all over time on all these different ideas and things that they can do. So, yeah, I think it'll be a sort of a collaboration between the two of them.
Have you folks heard the Norm MacDonald skit where he plays Mr. Fantastic? This may be too old for you, but it's about the time of National Lampoon. There was an audio interaction that lasted maybe, I don't know, 5-7 minutes long, where they're recreating the origin of the Fantastic Four. I think Bill Murray played one of the roles, maybe the Human Torch. But at any rate, they're all picking their names or having names assigned to them. They go around, okay, you'll be the Human Torch, and you'll be the Invisible Girl, and you'll be the Thing. And me, I'll be Mr. Fantastic. And the other three go, wait, what? And he's just, what's the problem? So they go round and round, and he just won't come off it. So, no, I'm Mr. Fantastic because, you know, that's who I am. That's what I'm going to be. And they're like, wait a minute, why do you get to be Mr. Fantastic? Blah, blah, blah. They really milk it. It's Norm MacDonald in that role, and you know how he would play things somewhat straight and not give an inch. So if you can find it, it's probably on YouTube. It's pretty amusing. But it speaks to Reed's ego. Very much.
Well, I'm sure he has a healthy ego, but let's quickly just talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about the Silver Surfer, which is probably going to be my biggest problem with the film.
Is that the elephant?
That's the elephant in the room. Well, for me, it's
Herbie the robot.
No.
But anyway.
I don't have a problem with One Piece. I have no problem
that's
with Herbie.
One of the things I didn't want to see, but never mind. Herbie. So I'm.
Yeah, I think that's
strike one. And strike two is, Silver Surfer. I wanted to see. I'm not going to say I want to see Norrin Rad as Silver. I did. As Chris said earlier, it's an alternate universe, so we've got to expect something a bit different.
If they want to do a female Herald, don't make her Silver Surfer, make her Frankie Ray.
Yeah, this is what I was just
right
going to say. Yeah, I'm going to say Frankie Ray. Not that I'm against a female. If they'd have done somebody, if they'd have used like Nova.
Yeah.
Instead.
But isn't all this based on what's been going on in the comics over the last like 10 years that Shala Baal became a new Silver Surfer?
No.
Did she?
I read something
that suggested there has been a female surfer because I thought,
I think an alternative universe under the something like that, that she was.
Oh, well, there you go. That's where they got
but
it from.
Here's the problem with that is, she's a Silver Surfer. That's fine. If she gets defeated or killed or whatever, and then if they bring in Norrin Rad, then he becomes New Herald and he's a Silver Surfer. That tells me then all of Galactus's heralds basically get the same power. They get the surfboard and they get covered in silver. As we know, he always is very different. Every herald is different. They have different power sets. They look different. They have different personalities. So that's why I think bring in Nova. And one, you could do her flaming hair. That would look great on camera. And then if she leaves or gets defeated or killed, whatever, then you can bring in Norrin Rad and he can be the Silver Surfer.
Have you all seen Thunderbolts?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
For those who have seen it, I can't say anything because one of us haven't seen it.
It's all right. I'll probably see it when it comes on Disney.
Okay.
I'm not impressed with this Thunderbolt. So go ahead and say what you want to say.
So, and the post-credit scene for the Thunderbolts, everyone here, I think, saw was the Fantastic Four entering what is the main Earth for the MCU.
Oh. Well, we see a spaceship with a four on it that somebody is tracking through the atmosphere.
And we don't see them. We just see their ship. We just see their ship.
Yeah, we just see their ship. But that's very evident of what happened. Why are they here? Because we know very clearly they're not supposed to be in this time nor in this year.
Yeah.
Nor in this universe, to be honest. So it's like, what happened? Why are they here? And I think very clearly that goes into what's going to happen with Silver Surfer. There's one Galactus. There is not, and there is only one Silver Surfer, and I'd say per universe that he has to choose a new Silver Surfer each universe if he's going to have a Silver Surfer.
That makes sense.
And therefore, we will have Norrin Rad in our main MCU timeline. But when it comes to that universe that they are, I'm really calling it here, is they're going to expel and get rid of, kill, even.
Or she could just lose her powers and then go back to her home or stay on Earth. Or, she could become human or
more. Once Galactus is gone, the power cosmic is gone.
And therefore, that universe is without him and the power cosmic, and it either dies or it just thrives on its own supposed to.
I agree with you, Kirk, that I think using Galactus as in the first film is a mistake, because Galactus is big enough that he should be the build-up, like Thanos was. He should be the big threat that carries over several films until you have your big film where he comes in, instead of using him, because now you've used him and he's gone, and I don't think they're likely to use him again. If they don't kill him, they just...
Well, we don't know that. I mean, we know that Galactus comes to Earth. We don't know anything else that happens after he gets there.
Yeah,
it's going to be, and we haven't heard anything about Uatu or a Watcher being in this movie. So, or have you? Now, I did hear that John Malkovich's role was has been edited out of the movie.
Yeah.
What was he?
Was he the Red Ghost or something?
The Red Ghost. I thought that he would have been good as, what's his name, Masters, the puppet.
Puppet master.
But it looks like, it does look like he... he was the Red Ghost, and they've completely...
He could really ham it up as the Red Ghost. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Or the Mad Thinker.
Well, it's good. If they're talking about the Red Ghost with his super apes, I'm glad they're getting that out of the way by removing him, because I don't think that's right.
There's no room for super apes.
Right. I mean, it's like these are barnacles. These were additional things that were added. Even the Super Skrull type of, oh, let's have them switch powers in the last movie, that just felt very wrong and very rushed to me. So I don't mind the fact, you know, that if the super apes don't show up, great. Don't bother showing me the Red Ghost. I don't care. You know.
Well, I think if he had been there, maybe he was like, he's the cold open. You know, open and they're defeating him, and like it's like an opening of a Bond film. Here's the guy I just defeated. You're catching the end of my adventure. Defeated him, and then they're going to move on to whatever the next.
That would next work.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
But you know. We're getting Mole Man, you know.
We're getting Mole Man.
We're getting Mole Man, but it's just this fat git in a crappy-looking green tracksuit. It's awful.
Paul Walter Hauser, and you guys may... He was the guy that played Richard Jewell, and he was in Cobra Kai. Stingray.
I think... Okay. Here's something I did want to bring up, and that is the next big MCU movie that's coming out is Doomsday. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Why? And here's an honest question I think we should all be asking ourselves. Why is Dr. Doom a bigger threat than Galactus?
He's not.
He shouldn't be. But very clearly, the MCU is making him out to be.
Well, I mean, again, you know, what happens with Galactus?
Galactus.
We've got a Secret Wars movie coming up, and Secret Wars, you know, probably could have Galactus in it. So that's a stepping stone. Okay, I've got to throw this out here because I know that we're limited on time. So we've had 2 weeks of Superman, and he's dominated both weeks. Do you think this Fantastic Four movie, because I'm hearing good things about it from people that have already seen it, do you think it's strong enough? And I know it will probably knock Superman off the first week, but do you think it could be strong enough to make more money than Superman?
I think it's going to be just a little less. I don't think it's going to be quite as strong an opening as Superman. I think it's going to be just a little below it. I mean,
how about the rest of me? Chris?
I honestly don't think it will. I think people... and nobody went to go see Thunderbolts. And Thunderbolts was great. I thought Thunderbolts was wonderful.
Yeah, but nobody'd heard of the Thunderbolt. I mean, let's be honest. The thing that MCU fans really want... is they want the main Marvel characters. And we're talking about the guys that started off in the 60s. Yeah. The Fantastic Four, Iron Man, Captain America, the Hulk. They want these characters that they have heard about all these years and then met them with these great actors, taking them on and turning them into household names.
Hey, I'm with you.
And so when you got the Thunderbolts, it was like, who? Captain America Light?
And I understand that.
Yeah,
but it's like the reason why I'm scared of the movie not doing well, Fantastic Four, that is because it has the logo Marvel Studios.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of Marvel stink on it from some of the past films that have not done so well.
Captain America Brave New World come out this year, which I enjoyed, but multitudes and multitudes of people didn't. And that really hurt Thunderbolts.
I don't think that this is, and I'll use as an example, Spider-Man No Way Home as a good example. Now, Spider-Man No Way Home, of course, came out a good couple of years after Endgame.
And COVID.
But you had, what, 3 Spider-Man movies that came out. Which ones were affected? No, so
Far
only
From Home.
No
Way Home.
Far From Home was after Tony Stark had died. No Way, and No Way Home, of course, was after Endgame. And
both of them were.
Both of them were. And the thing is that, my brain is just not working. The whole point is that the last one made over $1 billion during the pandemic, meaning that when people had every reason to stay home and not go out and see a movie, and there was so much superhero fatigue, they still went out and saw Spider-Man. And I think the same thing's going to happen with the Fantastic Four. People are going to go out and see this movie because they know the Fantastic Four and they actually like them. They just want them done right.
That's the same thing you said for Superman. But
well, it'll have a nice opening weekend, but the real story is going to be if it has legs or not. You know, if everybody's going to go see it because you don't know anything about it. Now, if it stinks, then you're going to have a big drop off and nobody's going to go back and see it.
Yep.
Well, I have high hopes for the movie, but I don't know. I don't know what to anticipate, so I'm trying not to anticipate. But we'll see what story they want to present, and I'll go for the ride.
I think that we're going to get kind of a Tomorrowland vibe. I mean, obviously the stuff that we've seen already has that right. 1960s futuristic look, and I hope it gives us that same feeling, but that can alienate some people because they just don't get it, you know. I'm really looking forward to this. I can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to this as much as I was looking forward to Superman. So, you know, I've been reading Fantastic Four all my life, and I've always had high hopes for a Fantastic Four movie. So I just hope this one finally, you know, comes, you know, is up to the task.
Well, the big thing about this one is that they would be introduced into the cinematic universe. Cause you know, like you said, we've had 4 kind of quasi successful attempts at doing the FF, but now this is one that is one, it's leaning into the period piece, which I think is just smart. I like the look of it. Everything does look, it looks good. It's kind of it does have a Tomorrowland kind of feel to it.
Right. A sheen.
Yeah. Is this being released in 3D?
Yeah.
It is? Okay.
Aren't they all?
I tried to get tickets, but didn't be able to work.
Well,
so
the 3D thing was kind of fading out. I didn't realize Superman was in 3D.
I've seen that plenty of movies have been in 3D. I mean, James Gunn encouraged people to go watch Superman in 3D.
And as long as Cameron is around, we're going to have movies pushed out in 3D.
That's his thing, yeah. But
and I'm very excited for the next Avatar movie, but that's another topic. I'm very excited for this. I'm holding out hopes because, honestly, I don't know what to expect too much. I hope for a good story. I hope for good performances. I can't wait to hear it's clobbering time or flame on. Of course, in the theaters, because I think we've heard flame on in the trailers. And the thing I'm most excited for this to happen is, like Tim said, it to become part of the cinematic universe. Can't wait to see Johnny and Spider-Man interact. That's one of the things I'm most excited for.
I heard that there was a rumor that and Doomsday that Reed is going to lead the Avengers.
Well, I mean, it would make sense.
For Doomsday, yeah, but for Secret Wars, it's got to be Cap.
We getting Nazi Cap in that?
Captain Hydra?
Yeah, are we getting the evil Cap?
I don't know. It would be interesting to see if Chris Evans wants to do that, but
I think he's on board coming back, but I don't know which Cap he's going to play.
And would he be on the other side?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that would be interesting.
Or he's
gonna, I don't know.
He's going to turn
evil? As far as I know... Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead.
As far as I know, for Secret Wars and Doomsday, I've heard, I don't know if this is true, that What If, the ending of What If is impertinent to what's going to happen. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued to see. I did not care for What If, especially what was going on in that last season.
You mean the one where we had a female Captain Britain and it all evolved into everybody's, everybody comes together and the main bad becomes omniscient and realizes that he's part of the Watchers, series. Is that what you're talking about? Is that the most recent season?
That is, yes. Yeah, yes. That's the latest one.
Okay.
Captain Britain was introduced in, I think, the second season. But, yeah, she's brought in because I kind of skimmed through this, but it's a kind of an overarching Watcher thing.
Yeah, you don't realize Watcher. That they're all going to be linked until you get to the ending, and then you realize that everything we've seen in the whole season are all coming together.
Yeah.
Well, I just couldn't...
The what-if stories have been pretty awfully. They're not very good. None of them.
Yeah. Well, it's just the stories they chose. I'm going to be so honest. It doesn't make any sense. The final episode that showed us everything that we could have had. And a lot of it looked really a lot cooler than what we did get. And that was just incredibly annoying because I didn't want to see Darcy. I think that's her name. Darcy have a baby with Howard the Duck.
Yeah, that was
ridiculous.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think there's been a new season that I'm glad. Missed.
Yeah, I've missed a good bit of that too.
But you know what? I'm excited to see what the Fantastic Four will do. I just want to see Johnny and Spidey talk. I think that's the thing I'm most excited for.
Do you think they'll become bro dudes?
Yes. What?
I was going to say, do you think we'll get a live action Jeffrey Wright Watcher?
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
Because he is the voice of it in the cartoon, and that, I think those are considered kind of canon.
So yeah, they are. Maybe
he'll be a framing device or a connecting device at the end or a mid-credit scene.
Well, I mean, obviously in this one, I think there is no ultimate nullifier in this film. So there's going to be no Watcher. I don't know why. It sounds like they're leaning into Franklin and his being, his Omega level mutant. So he's going to take on. That's why Galactus wants him, I guess, because maybe
Franklin can potentially be. Let's amplify on that just a little bit. Why would Galactus want them? Just to checkmate the FF, to give them an impossible demand? Or is there something further? Is he going to then become the next Galactus?
No, it's because of Doom.
Why would Galactus give any thought about Doom?
Because from what I can see, Doom is going to literally change everything. From what we've seen in the set pictures and photos and the concept art of Doomsday, this isn't just normal Doom. This is God Emperor Doom, where he wears white and he's clad in gold and silver as well.
It sounds he's like not Doom from the second Secret Wars. Or the third.
It's Doom with the power of with I believe the powers of the Beyonder.
Oh. God.
And so it's just he's too much even for Doom. And if I mean you guys read the classic Secret Wars, the Beyonder whooped Galactus's ass.
Well, yeah.
So it's if you give Doom that kind of power, the only person who could possibly and conceivably beat him is Franklin Richards.
Oh, so you think Galactus wants Franklin to help him defeat Dr. Doom.
Yes.
Well, that's that sliding scale of Franklin's powers. You know, they overpower that kid and then another next writer comes in and goes, no, let's dial it back or let's give him some kind of a brain lock so we can't use his powers because they can never decide if he's, you know, Omega level and can do anything or he's just a 5-year old kid.
A 5.5-year old kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Byrne says. He'll always be 5.5 years old.
Yeah.
I think the greatest thing they can do is giving him that power. I think Franklin Richards should be the strongest person in Marvel besides, you know, your conceptual beings.
Well, that's fine, but does he need to be introduced in the first film? I don't think she should have.
No.
I mean, if you want to introduce Franklin at the very end of this film, have her say, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. So that in the next film, maybe you introduce Franklin, or maybe she's just pregnant throughout that whole film and you give him in the third film. To your point, Kirk, they are putting in too much stuff. I don't think Franklin should be in this. See. I don't think Galactus should be in this.
We'll see. You know, depends on the story that they want to tell, and we don't know what that is yet. So
I think that's the biggest problem is the story's had so much, the overall story of Marvel has had a big hiccup in it due to the fact that they got rid of all the Kang stuff due to the Jonathan Majors conflict.
Yeah, that kind of threw a wrench in their works, yeah.
And that I bet you they did have an incredibly decent plan for what they were trying to work up to with the Kang Dynasty and everything else, but it just fell apart because Jonathan Majors had that issue. And as I think we all remember, I would hope so, the Fantastic Four logo looked completely different when they first announced the movie compared to what it looks like now. It looked a lot different. And I assume what they were going to write and use at the first time was a lot different too.
Can you share those two different images in the show notes for us? Because I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Yeah. It was at San Diego Comic-Con at Hall H.
Yeah, send it to me. Yeah, don't mind. Okay.
Well, let's do let's kind of wrap this up. Let's do a quick round robin here. Just go around and everybody tells one thing you want to see and one thing you don't want to see in this film. Start with you, Brian.
Okay. What I want to see is I want to see Reed Richards showing the big brain on Reed. I don't know how to describe that, but I'm hoping that we'll get to see it. It was one of the things I always thought that John Byrne handled better than most any other writer out there was Reed Richards talking as the smartest man on the planet. What I don't want to see, what do I not want to see? I don't want to see any nudity jokes about the Invisible Woman like we saw in the the Tim Story Fantastic Four movies. We got that they got that out of the way in those movies. They don't need to do that now.
All right. Nigel, yep. How about you?
Okay. Well, one thing I want to see, and we're not going to see it in this film though, but I'm hoping for something that's going to happen at the end. I don't like the costumes that they've currently been given for this film.
They look like they're being crocheted.
But I'm hoping that, well, it's based on what I think might happen, because, like, they're going to go from where they are in their universe to into the MCU universe at the end, aren't they? And so I'm hoping in a similar way to what happened in the comics, whereby when they were in the negative zone and they came back to Earth 616 and their costumes changed to that dark blue-black with the white trim. I'm hoping that something happens on a similar basis, and when they move over from their Earth, which we're going to see in this first film, to the MCU Earth, the costumes are going to change. I want them to have the costumes that Byrne put them in when he was doing the comic. Mm-hmm. So that's what I hope to see. Of course, not going to see it in this first film, but for the future, I'm hoping so. And also, again, something we're not going to see in this film, but what I wanted is Alicia. Are we going to get an Alicia Masters?
Oh, yeah.
I think Natasha Lyonne is probably going to play Alicia, but they've kept her character's name kind of, you know, off the
record. Yeah. Well, it's possible. Yeah. We've just not seen anything at the moment. Yeah.
And they don't have a Willy Lumpkin there either. And that's
no.
The question is, are they going to find some way to tribute Stan in this?
No, sure. They could have a bust that they walk past in a hallway or you know, there are lots of different ways to handle a nod to him without him being live action. But still, you know, he's been in all the rest of them. I'd like to see at least maybe some CGI. I'm sorry, am I stealing somebody's slot here? I'd like to see a nod to Stan, whether it's CGI or AI or something with something subtle, maybe in the closed credit scenes, just a little punchline. That would be fine as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, okay.
I would like to see, I'm looking forward to seeing the family dynamic. That's you know, arguing between themselves or horseplay between themselves. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. What I don't want to see, and there's no indication so far that this is going to be the case, but I don't want to see the team's powers altered from what they were originally. I don't want them to, And so far, I've not really seen anything to suggest that they will. I mean, Thing looks strong as he usually does, and Johnny, of course, flames on. I've not seen Reed stretching much. There's only one trailer where I've just seen him. He's like in midair, and there's all this debris flying about, and you kind of see him stretch a little bit to reach a boulder or something. But I've not seen any major stretches yet from him. I hope they show him like stretching out with his arms like a long way and things like we see in the comics. And of course, Sue's invisibility. I've not seen her turn invisible, of course, yet. We can see she's using some kind of power because there's these fancy like colors on the screen, but not seen it. It was like an up-close shot, so you can't really get a good idea of what she was doing. She was probably projecting a force field.
Yeah, I think it's what she was doing.
So I'd like to see more of her powers, you know, from a distance so we can see what it looks like. Yeah, but I'm hoping they don't give anybody any sort of fancy powers that they shouldn't have.
Chris, Kirk's kind of done. So why don't you go ahead and finish up, Kirk? Tell us what you wanted to see. What do you not want to see?
Chris, I think he's talking to you because I've already said my piece.
No, you said what you wanted to see. What do you not want to see?
Oh, I don't want to see them switching powers. I think that was a downfall of the Silver Surfer movie with Johnny becoming Ben and Ben becoming Johnny. And it's like, that didn't belong. You know, that's a gimmick after you've established. So I don't want to see that.
Okay. All right, Chris, now you're on deck.
Okay. Things I want to see. Clobbering time. Flame on. I want to see him go supernova. I'm not going to lie. That's something I want to see. I'm always intrigued by seeing just how far and how powerful Johnny can get. That's just because I like Johnny. But it was always interesting to see him do it when he did it in the first Fantastic Four movie and, you know, Invisible Girl or Invisible Woman, I'm sorry, you know, bubbled him to protect everything around him. But he took out Doom that way. And I thought that was so interesting. I thought it was really fun. And, of course, I'm very excited to see Galactus. I want to see Galactus. I mean, we've all seen the popcorn buckets of his head. It's massive. It's 18 inches, but it's also like $80.
Yeah, $80.
Wow.
60 if you have a membership at the theater program.
But goodness gracious.
What do you not want to see?
I got to think about that a little bit.
That's a tough one.
I really don't know what I don't want to see because I haven't read too much Fantastic Four. And I'm not going to say I'm easily impressed, but I usually try to find something I like in a movie. A lot of the time that's just not possible for some of the other things they do. I don't want to see. I want to see them save people. I don't want to see them only attacking the things. I want to see them also save people, kind of like in Superman. He took the time to save the people out of harm's way. I want to see them save people. If they don't save people, I don't want to see them just purely attacking. It doesn't make any sense to me. I guess that's really, that's all it can come down to. I really don't know what I don't want to see. Of course, I don't really want to see them switch powers.
Or shut off their morals.
Yeah, it doesn't make it, or, you know, it just, I don't want to see the world try and kill Franklin Richards or get rid of Franklin Richards like a sacrifice to Galactus. I'd like to see maybe a better version of our people and seeing, because this is like a futuristic, a retro-futuristic society.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the people themselves try and help the Fantastic Four? I mean, Reed may be the smartest person on the planet, but that doesn't mean he can think of everything.
True.
Hmm. And so sometimes it requires other people's help. I want to see the Thing in the trench coat. I need to see that. But other than that, I think what I don't want to see is people morally depriving the people of their morality, because I'd like to think that humanity is better than that. And it needs to be written as such.
Cool.
So,
go ahead, Chris, finish your thought.
That's just pretty much where I stand on that. I don't want to see them deprave people of their morality.
All right, I will. I'll go last here. What I want to see is, because this is, they are leaning into the There's a trench coat.
It's like he's a flasher.
Looks almost like Mr. Fix-It. Because they are leaning into the kind of retro, the retro '60s style with all the tech and stuff. I want to see a proper one of two, either a proper bathtub Fantastic car that splits apart, or I'm going to see the pogo plane.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. And what I don't want to see is, I'm hoping they are not going to lean in so much to the kind of Marvel humor that they've had in, and I talked about this in our Superman show, leading into that, undercutting everything with a joke where they won't let a serious situation kind of sit and breathe. They have to kind of undercut it, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I want them to dial that back a lot so that we can have levity and we can have humorous situations, but I don't want a lot of jokes. I don't want a lot of quips and jokes. I want them to take a little more seriously. So we'll see.
I agree.
All right. Any final thoughts? Cause I do have to hop.
Nope. I'm just ready for this. I'm probably going to watch Superman one more time before we get to see this. I'm wondering how many times I'm going to want to watch that too. So I'm just excited. And also, if you guys didn't see, Thursday this week, we should be hearing word from John Byrne about the future of X-Men Elsewhen. He said news comes out Thursday. Mm. So what that means, don't know what, but as soon as I find out, everybody else will find out. Mm. So just be ready for that. And, you know, more likely, hopefully I can get this episode out really quick, so it's before Thursday. But if it's after Thursday, you all already know, and we don't. So, you know, hey, nice little time travel thing. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Okay, Tim.
Well, if you want to write us, you can get right to us at Gotta Get Burned.
Hang on, Kirk. Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
No, okay. Nigel had something he wanted to say.
I was just going to say, Tim, are you releasing X-Men Hidden Years this weekend?
Yes, I will release that if you're listening to this in the future, it's already been released, but I will release that tonight.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Just that I'd got another coming soon picture that I wanted to use, but I wasn't sure when exactly you were going to
drop it. So it'll be
Yeah.
From okay. the time of recording now, it'll be an hour or so, or later.
Few hours. Yeah. Yeah. So. I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm. All right, Kirk. Now you can do your spiel. Sorry.
If you want to write us, you can contact us at gottagetburned@gmail.com or use the Facebook page, which is a little faster. You can also leave us a review on the former iTunes, whatever it's called now. Those are ways that you can reach us. But we need to wrap this up. So for Third Degree Burn, I'm Kirk Greenfield.
I'm Brian Hughes.
I'm Chris Hughes.
I'm Nigel Spink.
And I'm Tim Elliott. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. You can find us and many other great shows at tutufreaks.com. That's tutufreaks.com. Third Degree Burn is spelled with the number 3, RDDEGREE. BYRNE, and is part of the Tutu Freaks network of shows. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Third Degree Burn, spelled with the number 3, and Burn spelled BYRNE. Compliments, complaints, and recipes can be sent to gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's gottagetburned@gmail.com. Drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. Till next time, this has been Third Degree Burn.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.